It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up on Food Friday, the author of a new cookbook shares the secrets to making totally not boring salads of all shapes, sizes, colors, and flavors. First, if you want to be happier in 2023, we've got some advice. The longest-running study on happiness going back to 1938 has found that the single most important thing for a happy life is relationships. Relationships are more important than wealth, IQ, or social status. So what can we do about it? Our next guest has a 7-day challenge for us. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to strengthen your social connections this year? How do you plan on doing that? Do you feel like you're somebody who's really good at building and maintaining those interpersonal relationships? Or do you let them fall by the wayside like, well, some of us? I won't name any names. Me. Call 800-642-1234 with your experiences, with your questions for our guest. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Jancy Dunn is a columnist for the Well Desk at the New York Times. She recently wrote about ways to boost your relationships for better overall health. Jancy, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
I've heard this over the years, that relationships, they're a big part of our happiness. I guess it kind of makes sense. But this long-running study going back to 1938 really hammers it home. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So, yes, it was from the Depression era. That's when it started. And it's called the Harvard Study of Adult Development. And it began in Boston. And it gradually, over the years, it mushroomed to three different generations. It grew to 1,300 people. And it was incredibly detailed. The researchers asked these, you know, they followed people throughout their lives and asked them very nosy questions. And they really did find that the key to happiness, the single decision that you could best ensure your own health and happiness, it was to cultivate warm relationships. And that's relationships of all kinds. It isn't just, you know, if you happen to have a partner or, you know, parents or your kids, it's everybody. It's friendships, which are very easy to neglect. You just kind of take your friends for granted. I do it too. And it's even what are called weak ties, people that you don't even know that well, that you maybe see their faces in your neighborhood. So it's every kind of relationship.
Well, the idea that we can do something about that, though, I think is super interesting, because we might think, I am who I am. I'm a people person, or I'm an introvert. I don't really, you know, form a lot of connections like that. We'll get to your challenge in a bit. But clearly, as you write in your piece, we do have some control over this.
Yes. And, you know, I wanted to make it very clear. And I had the author of the book, The Good Life, you know, on which we based this 7-day challenge, to reassure readers and anyone who wanted to participate that it is not just about being an extrovert. I know how hard it is. I'm an introvert. You would never know it because I've trained myself to present as an extrovert because I interview people all day long. But in fact, you know, I'm often dying inside when I'm talking to people. And so, you know, introverts, there's tons of research that they need social connections too. They just are different kinds of social connections. You know, everybody needs people. So it's not about, you know, turning yourself into an extrovert if that's not what you're about. And another anxiety that people had was, okay, well, how many friends do I need in order to be, you know, healthy and happy? There is not a number that you need, you know, if you have a couple of friends, but they're really sustained, wonderful relationships, great. It's not about being hung up about that. And yet another group of people, both in the study and with us, said, well, is it too late for me? And it's never too late. And you can start small and, you know, build your way up. But what I found about the research that was really interesting in all of us at the Well Desk was that the authors introduced a concept called social fitness. And they say that you should incorporate social fitness into your fitness regimen the way you would exercise or nutrition or rest, that you have to think about your relationships and how you can maintain them for a healthier life. And I find that even if I have like an off week where I'm getting enough sleep and I'm, you know, being at least somewhat healthy, I think, oh, I know it's off. I haven't really talked to anybody that I care about. And that's an important part of this regimen.
Talking to Jan C. Dunn, columnist for The Well at The New York Times, getting a prescription, a challenge for happiness to boost our relationships in 7 easy steps. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you take active steps to stay in touch with that old friend, make new friends, make small talk with people who aren't friends at all, just people maybe around the neighborhood, at the store? These all help. These all work. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Before we go to our callers, Jan C., let's get into some of our steps here. And step one, day one of this challenge, is to assess our social fitness, our connections with people. Tell us a little bit about how we can do that.
Well, you know, it's just about looking around to see who's in your life and who, you know, there's all kinds of different relationships that you have. And they said that in the book as well, the researchers, that there's even different kinds of friendships, people that you go to for advice, people that can make you laugh, people that you can really tell your innermost secrets to. And so it was about kind of looking around and seeing what the different realms are and where you maybe could do a little better. It's not some sort of shaming exercise about like, oh, I don't have enough friends. It's more about, you know, everyone's craving connection. And we found that after COVID, right, that people just really missed being around other people. And so that's kind of what it's about. We have a quiz so you can kind of assess where you might crave a little bit more connection. And then we did some exercises from there.
And some of those exercises, now day two here, we know who maybe we want to, after doing the self-assessment, there's a little more to it than that. We might know who we want to start reconnecting with. I love this. Like I'm always like, okay, I'm going to be better this year. Really vague challenges like this. This is really concrete. 8-minute phone call. Tell us about the 8-minute phone call plan.
I know, it's incredibly specific, isn't it? And we came up with that because we saw this research that people get really tense about when to end a phone call. There was one study that we cited that only 2% of people that were studied got off the phone at the same time. There's either the people that love to talk and talk and talk, like my father, or the people that rush you off the phone. And there was just no good time. And there's even a social cue that there's other research about this. When people want to hang up, they say, so anyway, and my mother, who's not a long talker, will say, I'll let you go. And what that means is, please let me go. Right. And so there's this disparity in what people want. And there's already, especially among some younger generations, there's anxiety around phone calls. And so I said in a meeting, like I've been doing lately with some of my busy friends, how about 8 minutes? Because 5 minutes is too short. 10 minutes, there's the danger of it going 15 minutes, 20, 30, you know, that could be a problem. And then when we talked to Bob Waldinger, who wrote the book, The Good Life, he said, okay, I agree that 8 minutes is enough time to establish a real connection. And if you go in kind of in an intentional way, as funny as it sounds with the 8 minutes, I do understand how funny it sounds. You can, if you know you have a heart out, number one, takes away that anxiety. Number two, 8 minutes, dispense with small talk, get right into it. You can tackle a problem together. You can go over an issue, or you can update each other on what's going on. And then after the 8 minutes, I did one yesterday with my friend Lauren. You say, all right, see ya, we'll talk soon. And that's the end of it. And you try to make a practice of doing it regularly. But what I do is I just text the people with whom I do this and say, like, okay, do you have time this week? Anytime? You know, it doesn't have to be this rigid thing. But people have really taken to it, including Jennifer Aniston. She reposted it on her Instagram stories. We were like, whoa. I mean, she's probably pretty busy, right? So she took to it. We got a little flutter of excitement from that one. So, yeah. So that's one of the exercises.
Yeah, 8 minutes isn't even long enough for a typical Midwestern goodbye, honestly. Like, well, let you get to it. Careful on the ice out there. You know, that kind of stuff.
Let's forget it. Anyway, right. Yeah.
Let's go to our callers at 800-642-1234. Carly is with us in Kewaunee. Carly, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to tell us about?
Well, I was just wondering, opinions or advice. You know, we all have the friends that we you know, don't talk to for a long time, and then we reconnect, and that's fine. We all, like, have that understanding because life's busy. But then I have a friend who, you know, me and another friend will constantly reach out. We all have kids the same age. Do you want to go here together? Let's try to get together this time. And she always has something to do. But then when she goes and does something fun, she doesn't reach out to us to join her. And then same with, like, text messages. Like, we'll be like, how's it going? This is what's going on in our lives. And she'll be like, oh, nothing. And, like, gives no detail, doesn't want to, you know. It's like, we know she's our friend, but she just puts zero effort into our friendship. So it's like, do we just continue to keep being like, do you want to be our friend? Can we, like, beg you to be our friend? Like, be our friend. And then
gotcha.
He just kind of hits back.
Carly, thanks for the call. I mean, that's not uncommon, I think, Jancy, the unrequited friendship. My suggestion would be, yeah, keep trying to reach out, but maybe don't focus all your friend energy there.
Yeah, I would say the exact same thing, because everybody has one of those elusive friends. And one of our exercises is to put a date on the calendar. And, you know, we've all been guilty of this, and we all have friends that do this where they'll say, oh, we have to get together sometime. And then it just sort of dies. But if you say, how about next Tuesday? Then you sort of, you know, at least try to pin them on it. But I agree with you. Like, at some point you have to direct your energies elsewhere, because the good thing about people is that there's lots of them. I mean, it's a nice resource to have, right? They're right in front of you, which is another thing that we liked about the challenge. Like, it's kind of unlimited.
Carly, thanks a lot for the call. Good luck. We're talking to New York Times columnist Jancy Dunn about ways to make our relationships and our social networks stronger, which it turns out is the best way to get happier, with 7 easy steps. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you found ways to make sure you have good, strong social connections, or lots of, like, nice, friendly social connections with people you're not even close to? That is also a good thing. Want to hear your friendship, maybe success stories, how you keep things going? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And do you feel it? Do you feel like those social connections make you a happier person? We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. Central Time, I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with New York Times columnist Jancy Dunn about her 7-day happiness challenge. Every day of the challenge, there's a new way to make new social connections, strengthen the ones we've already got. It's the road to happiness. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions, maybe your own experiences, how you try to build and keep and maintain connections. 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Jeff is with us in Burlington. Jeff, hi.
Hi, folks. Thanks for taking my call. I'm approaching 70, and after a career in real estate and local politics, I've found the best way to maintain a wide circle of friendly relationships is to say thank you to everybody for everything. Somebody makes a nice comment, you say thank you. Somebody makes a mean comment, you say thank you. You just thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And a trick that the first President Bush used was to write 50 thank you notes every night before going to bed. I can't do that, but I did write 5 thank you notes every night before going to bed and mail them out the next day. So the more you thank people, the more they will want to take your next call.
Jeff, thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. Jancy, it's the little things sometimes that can help build these connections.
Yes, and this leads into one of our exercises, which is to send a note of thanks to somebody who made a difference in your life. And it can be hard to be vulnerable when you thank them, but, you know, it can make their day or their week or their month. I remember looking at a report card for my fourth grade class, and my teacher, Mrs. Manley, when I was growing up in Cleveland, she said, in the comments, Jancy can really write. I think she's going to be a writer one day. And I can remember being in fourth grade and thinking, wait, what? You can be a writer? You know, I didn't even know you could be one. My dad was a JCPenney manager. And she put it in my head. So I remember thinking, wait, is she still around? And she was. She's still with us. I wrote her a letter. And she has become my grandmother, I lost both of my grandmothers and she didn't have any children. And now we write back and forth. I sent her flowers for her 90th birthday. I called her on New Year's Day. I owe her another call, actually. And that came from one letter. She sent me a letter immediately back. And you just don't know where it can lead. And it's really nice. And so, yeah, that was one exercise. And also, if you have a partner in your life, one of the exercises is to write down 10 different things that you like that your partner has done for you. Not qualities, not like, oh, you're cute or whatever, but you've done this for me, you've done this for me, things you appreciate. And I remember doing this for a couples therapist. And one of the things that I wrote for my husband, Tom, who went to school in Wisconsin, it was, you painted my parents' house last summer. And then I thought, wait, you painted my parents' house last summer? Like, this blew by me? He was up on a rickety ladder in the heat near a wasp's nest every weekend for a long time. And like, you know, in the rush of daily life, you don't think about that. I started to cry. And so it's really an unusual exercise to read it aloud to your partner and to make eye contact. But he never forgot it. I never forgot it. And so that's one of the exercises as well. And it all goes back to what the caller said about gratitude, right? And you think it, but sometimes you don't voice it or write it down or email or text. And it's better to do a eulogy for somebody when they're alive, right? Rather than after they've gone.
Thanks again for that call at 800-642-1234. Talking to Jancy Dunn from the New York Times, her 7-day happiness challenge looks at ways to build better relationships. We've got a link up at WPR.org/Central Time. Now, here's another, it seems like a small thing, small talk with strangers. Now, some people hate small talk. I like it. I feel like I'm not very good at it or confident with it. Really, we can get benefits from just that little bit of small talk with somebody we don't really know?
Think about when you've talked to somebody random on like a plane, and maybe you don't even learn their name or anything, but you have some sort of exchange that stays with you. I can think of conversations I've had with people on planes from years ago, and they still made an impact. And it doesn't need to be deep. You don't even need to know the person for it to stick with you. And even, you know, when you go to the grocery store or something and you have a nice exchange with somebody, you have that little kind of glow of well-being afterwards where you're like, oh, you know, it's even when someone lets you in traffic, that like there's something about a random connection that gives you real happiness. And so, but we do understand that it can be really difficult for people. Not everybody's a small talk person. You know, as you say, it's you don't even do it sometimes. And so we just gave a few easy ways to get started. And also people are rightly afraid of rejection. I mean, even for the exercise, I was making small talk with people. And sometimes people would edge away because they were afraid I was trying to sell them something or I was going to pull out a pamphlet or something. So it doesn't always hit. But when they're rejecting you, when they're edging away, they don't know you. They're not rejecting you. They don't know you. And I kept trying to tell myself that, and we told readers that. So an easy way to strike up a conversation is always, you know, if someone has a cute kid or a baby or a dog, you can't go wrong. I always will say, you know, what's it like that no one makes, you know, to the person who is the parent, you know, what's it like that no one makes eye contact with you ever again because your kid is so cute? And then they're like, or if you're talking about a dog, is this dog always this well-behaved? People, then they inevitably will say, oh no, you know, he definitely keeps me, you know, hopping. I always give this example. It's in the article. Mm-hmm. I was walking around my neighborhood and there's a lady whose dog, her dachshund, always barks at me and it drove me insane. And I thought, okay, you know what? I'm going to take this challenge and I'm going to go talk to this lady. So I said, how can I get your dog to like me? He just doesn't seem to like me. And she said, oh, Petey doesn't like it when people wear hats. And I said, excuse me? Petey gets upset and he barks. And I can't tell everyone in the neighborhood that because then I would never go anywhere. So yeah, winters are tough for Petey because everyone has hats on. And I thought, okay, number one, I love the name Petey. Number two, I love your dog. And when I see Petey now, I quickly rip off my hat so that Petey won't get tense and bark. And it's almost like a little game. So my point is that my neighborhood is friendlier now because I can't wait to see Petey coming. And now I have a connection with the woman that I was talking to. And it's almost selfish because it's friendlier for you too. It makes, you know, your kind of mobile world friendlier as you move through it.
In our last minute or so, I understand you've heard back from people now who have tried the 7-day happiness challenge. What kind of feedback are you getting?
Oh my goodness. We would read through the comments and we would be in tears. And I've been interacting with some of the readers as well. We had one person who said, oh, I've been estranged from my brother for 30 years. And I texted him, I found his text number, and I asked him, do you want to just talk for 8 minutes? And the brother said yes. And they talked for the first time. And I mean, you just can't, you know, there was someone else whose wife had died, and the person didn't want to leave the house. And, you know, they'd been together for 32 years and they were taking some of the challenges just so they could build up their connections again and not feel so alone. And even what is touching is people who have difficulty making small talk, and they would say, okay, today I went up to the receptionist at the place where I teach ballroom dancing. This was one lady. And I talked to the receptionist and it was very hard for me, but I did it, you know, and we would all cheer each other on because it can be so difficult for people. And we do understand that. So there's been tons of stories like that. And it just reinforces that people are hungry for connection.
Jancy, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for sharing this with us.
Oh, a pleasure to be here.
That's Jancy Dunn, columnist for The Well at The New York Times. She talked to us about her recent series, The 7-Day Happiness Challenge. We've got a link to that up at WPR.org/Central Time. Coming up after the news, it's this week's edition of Food Friday. We're going to talk to the author of the new cookbook, Salad Freak. And you can share your favorite salads to make and eat on the Ideas Network Facebook page. I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we get the latest on government documents marked classified, found in both an office space used by President Biden as well as his private residence in Delaware after his term as vice president. Now it's this week's edition of Food Friday. To set us up, here's a familiar voice.
Everyone loves a delicious, well-made salad. Cold, crisp leaves of any kind of lettuce dressed with homemade vinaigrette is a perfect lunch.
Martha Stewart there. Our next guest has a close connection with salads, lunch, and Martha Stewart as a cook in her test kitchen and on her TV shows for over 10 years. In her new cookbook, she has tons of recipes and advice to help us become salad all-stars. You could join in at 800-642-1234. How do you spice up your salad? Have you decided to try to eat maybe healthier, maybe more salads in this new year? Are you like me and salads are the most boring thing that you make in the kitchen? What questions do you have about how to get better at it? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Jess Damick is a food stylist and cookbook author. Her new book is called Salad Freak, Recipes to Feed a Healthy Obsession. Jess, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
How did you become a salad freak?
You know, I've always really loved salads. And I think, you know, I've been in the food industry for over a decade. I went to culinary school. And anytime anyone asked me, what's your favorite thing to cook? And I said, salads. Everyone was really surprised and I think kind of disappointed. But they're truly like the thing I love to eat and the thing I love to make. So I'm happy to see that there are a lot of other salad freaks out there, too.
Well, I feel very seen reading your book. You say at one point, you know, the reason a lot of us make boring salads, as I do, is we think of the salad as an afterthought. We put in all this effort working on the stovetop or in the oven or whatever, and like, oh, I want a salad too. I'll throw some greens in a bowl and some cut up some vegetables and put out a jar of dressing or something like that. Make the case that we can give the salad a little more love.
Yeah, you know, it's funny now that I've been in salad mode for such a long time. It's hard for me to cook any other way. I kind of feel like it's like a cheating because it really is like an all-in-one meal. You have a ton of veggies, you have your protein, and you can even have a grain mixed in. You know everything's going to taste really good together. You get a great mix of texture and color. And you don't have to think about all the other components that you need to have on the side.
One thing that made my salads better definitely was when I finally caved and got a salad spinner, which is not like an expensive piece of equipment, but nothing kills a salad with greens in it. Not all your salads have greens, but nothing kills a salad with greens, I think, than soggy greens, right?
It's true. Soggy greens, dirty greens is even worse.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if you're going out to the farmer's market or your garden and getting greens, you know, nothing's worse than like spending all of this time preparing a salad and then taking that first bite and being like, ugh. That is definitely something I learned working with Martha. It's very important to clean and dry your salad greens.
And you have a technique using that salad spinner. It's a little, I usually just, you know, use the, you know, mesh part as a colander, rinse it off, and then drop it in there. You actually give the greens a bath in there. If I'm reading it right, what do you do?
Yeah, I like to fill up the salad spinner. I put my greens in there and then sort of just gently move my hand around in there. And that really helps any dirt or sand or whatever is on there, little inchworms, bugs. You can, all that stuff is going to come off really, really well. Sometimes if things are super dirty, I empty out the water and do it a second time. And then empty out the water and give it a really good spin. And then your leaves are super clean and really dry and totally ready for a salad. Sometimes I like to do that as soon as I get home from the market as well, because I find if I do it right away and then have lettuce greens that are ready to go, I'm much more likely to use up that lettuce very quickly instead of letting it sort of like get sad in the back of the refrigerator.
It's Food Friday. We're talking to Jess Damick. Her new cookbook is called Salad Freak, Recipes to Feed a Healthy Obsession. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What is your favorite kind of salad, your favorite ingredient to put on a salad? Maybe something people wouldn't expect to see there. Or do you need some inspiration? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can find some recipes from our guest at WPR.org/Food Friday. We'll get into a couple of those recipes in a minute. But just, you know, it's the middle of winter here. We're talking about salads. A lot of people might think salads are summer food. Winter, we want warm, hearty stuff. You say no. Make the case for the salad as a great winter food.
Yeah, it was really surprising while I was writing the book and everything was coming together. You know, I realized, wow, I actually love a lot of the ingredients that are available during the winter. I'm in Los Angeles, so I'm like very spoiled. And right now I'm surrounded by incredible citrus. And that's something I really, really love adding to salads to brighten things up. There are some really incredible flavors right now available. Radicchios and chicories are something I really, really love. Those bitter, beautiful purple and pink lettuces. And those pair so nicely with sweet and tart citrus. So that's definitely one of my favorite combinations. But I think all of the root vegetables, things like cauliflower, all of those ingredients are pretty exciting to me.
Well, you queued up one of your recipes we've got at WPR.org/Food Friday. Crunchy citrus with chicories. That's the radicchio you're talking about there. And turmeric tahini dressing. So this is like radicchio and a lot of those chicories, I think, is kind of bitter. You got the tang from the citrus and then the dressing. Tie it all together for us.
Yeah, it's really, I love this one. This is one of the vegan recipes in the book, which is really nice too. I think it's a complete meal without adding additional protein because you've got all of those nuts and seeds on there. And the tahini is another great source of protein that kind of makes it a little more rich and filling. But yeah, this is one of my favorites for sure. And it's really stunning. It's so colorful. And this is one that all of my friends are always very excited to see on the table. It's definitely not boring.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Angie is with us in Madison. Angie, hi.
Hi. So I really like to eat salads with lots of different ingredients. And so the reason why I don't really like to make them at home is because I'll just use a little bit of each ingredient, and then I have a lot left over. So I was wondering if you had any tips on, like, how to keep those things fresh in the fridge for longer, or how to use them up, or how to, I don't know, buy smaller quantities or something.
Sure. And Angie, let's name names here. What are some of your most common refrigerator rot ingredients?
Well, of course, the greens go bad really quickly, but I'm thinking, like, broccoli, I don't know, tomatoes, just anything that's kind of in, like, a chopped salad.
All right. I gotcha. Angie, thanks a lot. Any advice on making sure Angie can use all those up before they go bad?
I will say that my favorite thing for keeping greens fresh is OXO makes something called a green saver, which sort of looks like a salad spinner, but it's a rectangle that you keep in the fridge. And I don't know how it works, but it will keep your lettuces fresh for an extremely long time. Like, I'm talking weeks it can be in there. And it's made of hard plastic, so nothing squishes it in the bins, which I think is also helps keep it fresh for longer. But I also will say, it's maybe it's not helpful right this second, but I am working on my second book, which is all about vegetables. And I know that that is a problem that I have as well. So I'm really trying to figure out recipes that either use the whole thing or utilize leftovers. For tomatoes, I like to throw them into a sauce. If they're feeling like they're really soft and squishy and about to go, I think roasting them for a sauce is a really great thing to do. Just put them in the oven at 450 until they get sort of blistered and brown with a little olive oil, salt, and pepper. And you can toss that in on pasta, and it's so delicious. I think roasting is always a great method if you have things like broccoli or cauliflower that are getting a little bit soft. And, you know, throwing something that's nice and flavorful on top, like chili crisp or a really bright lemony vinaigrette. And you'll be surprised how things are able to bounce back.
Angie, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Kay is with us now in Madison. Kay, hi.
Hi. Well, I have a story about why it's important to wash your greens well. I went out to a restaurant and had a salad, and I found a worm in the salad.
Oh, no.
And I didn't want to kill it. I just put it on the plate next to the salad bowl, and it proceeded to crawl around the bowl, and I started laughing so hard I thought I was going to get kicked out of the restaurant.
You didn't report it to the restaurant? You just had a new pet, Kay?
Yeah, I did eventually, but that's the reason to wash your greens well.
Kay, thanks. At least you know it's fresh, I guess. Jess, yeah. We want to watch. I mean, it's great to get fresh stuff, but straight out of the garden, we do want to sometimes watch for, I guess, uninvited guests.
Yes, definitely. And that's why that salad spinning technique is, you will not have that problem. It's definitely worth the few extra minutes to always do that before you make a salad.
Thanks for sharing that story. We're talking to food stylist and cookbook author Jess Demick. It's Food Friday. We're talking about her new book. It's called Salad Freak, Recipes to Feed a Healthy Obsession. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a salad freak yourself? Got to have one with every meal, as many meals even? Do you have a recipe or ingredient that you're really liking right now? Or do you have a question for our guest? Need some advice? Call in at 800-642-1234. And in a Wisconsin winter, what do you like to do for your salads? 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our Food Friday conversation with Jess Demick. She's the author of the new cookbook, Salad Freaks, a Salad Freak Recipes to Feed a Healthy Obsession. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your salad favorites, your salad questions, 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Go back to your calls now with Jeff in Superior. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, good afternoon. I am a big fan of cabbage, and I'd like to hear your thoughts about how versatile the cabbage is. You can do cabbage rolls, you can boil cabbage, you can make kimchi. But I just had a conversation in the grocery store here in in Superior at the deli, because in the summertime they make what they call a summer slaw, which is coleslaw, but they add chopped tomatoes and cucumbers, and it's my favorite thing, but they only make it in the summertime. Do you have any other ideas?
Jeff, thanks for the call. And Jeff answers my question of great things to make in a salad in Wisconsin winter. Cabbage really keeps.
I really love cabbage, and I've been developing a lot of cabbage recipes lately, actually. I love raw cabbage. I have a few recipes with raw cabbage in the book. I really like bringing Asian flavors into cabbage, like ginger. And that's one recipe that I have in the book. It's a crispy chicken with gingery cabbage, mandarins, and almonds. So I throw that on top of a crispy chicken cutlet, and it's so delicious and super filling. And I think the cabbage can feel really fresh and light and delicious, even in the middle of winter. I definitely think kimchi is a really fun thing to make. I just made a batch last week, and you know, there's so many ways to use kimchi. It adds so much flavor to different things, and it's great to eat on its own. And I've been experimenting with some krauts as well. They're kind of easy fermentation projects, and it's a really nice way to use cabbage up if you have a little bit of extra. And you can sort of set it and forget it in the back of your fridge for a while and come back and enjoy it later, which is always nice. But I've been doing another raw cabbage salad and just shredding it really thinly on a mandolin and tossing it with cucumbers, some sprouts, and then like a creamy sesame dressing. And that one is so fresh and so delicious. Yeah, I've really been enjoying that one a lot lately.
Thanks a lot for that call, Jeff, at 800-642-1234. Jess, let's talk about dressings. It's easy to buy salad dressing at the store. Your recipes have dressings that go into them. And honestly, they don't look like they're that hard to make for the most part. Can you talk about what we get out of making our own dressing for these salads?
I think if there's one takeaway from this whole book I've written, I really hope that it's people start making their own dressing. I know it took about 10 years of working in the food industry to convince my parents that it was a good idea to make your own dressings, and it wasn't too difficult. And they finally started when this book came out, and you know, they'll never go back. It really just makes your salad feel so fresh and just full of flavor. And you can really control, you know, the amount of acid, if you need to add a little sweetness, if you have fresh herbs on hand. And it just, I don't know, there's really no going back once you start. And it's just a simple thing you can do that truly takes a couple of minutes that just makes a huge, huge difference.
And another difference maker, now we think of salads, you might think of the produce and the dressing. You're also using some canned and jarred ingredients, beans, some seafood types of things. Can you talk about that as a quick and easy way to add some variety to a salad?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know that fresh ingredients are the biggest thing we think of when we think of salads, but having a well-stocked pantry is super important too, because first of all, having a stocked pantry means vinegars and oils, and then you're going to get a ton of variety in flavor in your dressings. And so you're not going to get sick of them if you have a couple different things on rotation. And then, yeah, I love keeping canned beans and tinned fish on hand, because that's a really quick way to turn a salad into something that you're just eating on the side to a really fulfilling main dish. And it comes together in minutes. Truly like putting a can of a delicious tinned fish on top of a salad, you have like a beautiful meal that's ready in just a couple minutes.
Well, now here's a question for all the way on the other side of the glass here. Our technical director, Trina, asks, how do you make uncooked kale taste good in a salad? Somebody told me to massage it with olive oil and sea salt. All right. Can you help Trina out? How do we make uncooked kale pop in a salad?
Massaging is a very important thing. I like to massage the entire dressing into the kale, actually. And I really prefer kale shredded than in big pieces. It can get kind of tough and difficult to eat when it's like big old chunks. But yeah, you have to give it a little rub. Also, you can just put the dressing on and let it sit for a little bit, which is usually not the case for salads. Usually you want to dress right before you're about to eat because you don't want those leaves to get soggy. But with kale, it's hardy enough to hold up a little bit to the dressing ingredients. So you kind of want it to actually soften a little bit.
It's Food Friday. We're talking to Jess Damick. Her new cookbook is called Salad Freak, Recipes to Feed a Healthy Obsession. Find info about the book and some recipes at WPR.org/Food Friday. Back to your calls now. Pat is with us in Suamico. Hi, Pat.
Hi. Enjoying this program, and I am a salad freak. A lot of times I will take salad for my lunchtime. I get up earlier because I need to go in early, but it takes time to get my greens, chop up my stuff, and throw them in my little container. And I'll do, a lot of times I get the salad greens that are in the little plastic containers, grab a handful, I wash those out, and I've got a little colander, and I take a hand towel to dampen those out. First, I make sure that I get the water out as best as I can, and then I'll take the hand towel and kind of smash them down a little bit, and then I'll throw in anything from cauliflower to broccoli, depending what I have, carrots, radishes, chop them up, chop up celery, taking canned beets, chopping up canned beets, ooh, throwing those in there, getting those little grape tomatoes. I found some that they were colorful tomatoes, so I throw those in there. If we've got some spare ham, I'll take that, chop that up, throw that on there. I'll throw in some raisins on top of that. If I don't have the ham, I'll take some cheese, chop that up,
nice,
throw that in there. And I've got a complete meal there.
Fantastic, Pat. Thanks. Pat is a salad freak, Jess, as well. I mean, she makes me think, like, so she's bringing those into work. Do you have an idea for a salad that, you know, travels well, whether it's in a lunchbox or wherever we're going?
I believe that any salad can travel well as long as you have your dressing on the side. And they make some really great to-go salad containers now that you can find. But also I find just throwing dressing in a mason jar on the side, they seal really tightly. They travel well. It's kind of the perfect amount of dressing. If you make a bigger batch, you can have it for a couple of days. And I think the key is really just assemble it right when you're going to eat it. You can put all of the ingredients together in one thing except for the dressing because you don't want it to get soggy.
Thanks a lot, Pat. Just our last minute, one of the recipes you shared with us, Jess, is for a breakfast salad. This is the citrus breakfast salad with spicy chili granola. People can look it up at WPR.org/Food Friday. Breakfast salads, though, you're big on those.
I am. I love them so much. Why not get started first thing in the morning? I always feel so much better if I have some fresh fruit or vegetables in the morning. And I think, you know, this is kind of where I push the definition of a salad a little bit. But hey, fruit salads are a thing, you know? To me, there's nothing more delicious than a big plate of beautiful California citrus, a little yogurt, a little granola, super satisfying, super fresh. And I think it's a really great way to start the day.
Jess, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This was so fun.
That's Jess Damick, food stylist and cookbook author. She joined us today on Food Friday to talk about her new cookbook. It's called Salad Freak, Recipes to Feed a Healthy Obsession. You can find a link to info about the book plus three recipes over on our website at WPR.org/Food Friday. Now, I just mentioned that breakfast salad, citrus breakfast salad with spicy chili granola. We talked about the crunchy citrus with chicories and turmeric tahini dressing. Bonus, there's little gem, that's a kind of lettuce, little gem with creamy dressing, hazelnuts, and petals, like flower petals, edible ones. Find those all at WPR.org/Food Friday. And if you have a favorite salad, some advice you want to share with the world, the greatest salad you ever ate, let us know about it. You can do that at the Ideas Network Facebook page, or you can always email us, ideas@WPR.org. Love to hear about your favorite salads. Coming up Monday at noon, join us on Wisconsin Public Radio to celebrate the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. That's live from the Capitol Rotunda, Wisconsin's 42nd annual tribute and ceremony with words and music. It's the nation's oldest official MLK state commemoration. Tune in Monday at noon. Listen here on Wisconsin Public Radio or online at WPR.org. Like that one song says, do you want to build a snowman? Then you better get a crane. At least if you want to match an epic giant snowman here in Wisconsin. As reported by WCCO News in Minneapolis, a construction company owner in Milltown in northwestern Wisconsin started building giant snowmen a few years ago to win a local decoration contest. Each year they've gotten bigger. This year's model, Jeffrey the Snowman, measures in at 58 feet tall. Width-wise, according to Craig Carlson, owner and founder of Carlson Construction, it is 72 feet at the base, 58 feet at the midsection, 44 feet across at the head. A lot of snow, a lot of snowman. Jeffrey is named in honor of Craig Carlson's late brother. He's drawing visitors from around the region and raising funds for the Milltown Community Club. If you stop by to see Jeffrey, take a picture, send it over, ideas@WPR.org. This is Central Time.